Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. A second hour of Intelligent Medicine, because we're heard 2 hours each weekend from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And we got lots to talk about this hour. We're going to talk about the true origins of herbal medicine. How far back does it go? A couple of thousand years, 5,000 years, 10,000 years? We're going to look at the fossil evidence to trace the true origins of herbal medicine. It's been with us for a long time. We're taking your phone calls. 877-726-TALK is our number. And our first caller is Anne. Hello, Anne. How are you?
Anne, from
Somerset, New Jersey.
Yes, Dr. Hoffman. Good afternoon. Very pleased and honored to speak to you today, sir.
My pleasure.
I just have a quick question. It was recommended to me to take krill oil to help lower my cholesterol. I'm 77 mm-hmm. years old, mm-hmm. and I had my physical in June, and my cholesterol, I think I've always been on the high side, but it kind of went up to 300 now. So
two problems with that.
Krill oil versus fish oil. That's my question to you.
Okay, so two problems with that. First of all, neither fish oil nor krill oil will significantly lower your cholesterol, okay? And in fact, there's some studies that suggest that fish oil can raise your cholesterol, but that's not a problem because generally when your cholesterol goes up when you take fish oil, so too does your HDL. And we know that the omega-3s that are present in fish oil and krill oil are beneficial for the heart in so many other ways. It's not so much about lowering cholesterol, it's about lowering your cardiovascular risk. So they're anti-inflammatory, they prevent blood clots, they help to dilate the arteries, help them to expand and lower your blood pressure. They may also even have an anti-arrhythmia effect. So fish oil is beneficial, but it's not going to lower your cholesterol. So, I mean, you're asking, in effect, the wrong question. You're saying, you know, differentiate between krill oil versus fish oil as the best for lowering cholesterol. Well, neither really are so much the effective agents for lowering cholesterol. Other things lower cholesterol, red yeast rice, bergamot, which is currently my favorite for lowering cholesterol. Niacin will lower cholesterol. Kaolic aged garlic extract can have a beneficial effect on cholesterol and so many other risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So those are my current favorites for lowering cholesterol. There's a great big war going on now between the people who speak up for krill oil versus good old-fashioned fish oil, which is derived from salmon or cod liver. And unfortunately, a lot of commercial interests are involved. People are trying to sell krill oil as being superior to fish oil. And I take the side of the people who have favored good old-fashioned fish oil. That's what I prescribe. Now, the purported benefits of krill oil are based on the fact that krill oil contains the omega-3s in phospholipid form, which is said to be more bioavailable. But there's not a lot of research that shows that, I mean, in theory that may be correct, but there's not a lot of research that shows that the phospholipids aren't broken down and digested before they get to where they need to get to. Or B, clinical evidence that shows that people who take krill oil derive significantly greater benefits than those who take fish oil. The studies are very, very limited on krill oil, and yet the commercial push behind krill oil is enormous. Literally millions and tens of millions of dollars have been deployed in marketing krill oil as a alternative product to fish oil. And most of the research, the vast majority of the research, has been done with fish oil, research that shows it's beneficial for the brain, for the heart, for the joints, for colitis, for so many inflammatory conditions, for multiple sclerosis, you name it. The evidence is on the side of fish oil. The other potential benefit of krill oil is that it contains some astaxanthin. Astaxanthin is actually the stuff that's responsible for making salmon pink. And it's natural in salmon that feed in the ocean. And salmon that's farmed, they get astaxanthin added to their feed, because if they didn't get it, their flesh would be an unappetizing gray color. So you can get astaxanthin by consuming some salmon. You can take astaxanthin pills if you want, in addition to your fish oil. Astaxanthin is maybe a beneficial supplement, but it's, again, it's not a miracle supplement that I recommend to all my patients. I think it's fine because it's in the carotenoid family. But do its benefits merit taking krill oil, which, by the way, is the pills are smaller, but the potency is much less than from fish oil. You're going to get a lot less. And the claim of the krill oil people is that because it's so much more bioavailable, that you need to use less to get the benefits. But I don't agree with that. I think that fish oil trumps krill oil as a source of omega-3s. All right?
To lower my cholesterol.
No. you heard, listen to the whole thing that I just said. And I said it doesn't lower your cholesterol.
No, okay? I said, what do you recommend that I did.
I told you. Were you listening? I said bergamot, red yeast rice, and kyolic. Yeah. Okay. So you just, and if, for those of you, I say stuff maybe a little too fast. You can always listen to the podcast. You can play it again and again on your computer or on your mobile device. We post podcasts of this program on Mondays. And even though some of our production comes out of Florida this weekend, because our producer's in Florida helping his parents, hopefully we'll have that podcast up for you if the power's working and the internet is up from Miami. All right. This item I find quite fascinating because I'm trained in anthropology. That was my major in college. And the question is, how old is herbal medicine? What is the evidence, if we study the ancient past, for the use of herbal medicine? We can actually look at papyri, those scrolls from ancient Egypt, and they talk about the use of various herbs for the treatment of pain, for the treatment of digestive ailments, parasites, infections. They knew their plants. And if we look at Native Americans, who are a proxy for hunter-gatherers who may have been our primitive ancestors, they had a very, very elaborate understanding of the plants in their environment, what could be used for this, that, and the other thing. So how far back does that go? Well, this is amazing, because they have developed a technique to analyze the dental plaque in ancient fossils. And this helps us with insights into what people ate tens of thousands of years ago. Now, the Neanderthals lived continuously from about 300,000 years ago to about 50,000 years ago. They were rendered extinct by us. We are Homo sapiens. We're modern men and women. And Neanderthals are a different subspecies of the human line. They were rendered extinct, possibly because they were wiped out by us, by Homo sapiens. But researchers have sequenced the DNA of plaque found on the fossil teeth of Neanderthal remains recovered in Belgium and in Spain, and they published the results in the journal Nature, so they know now what Neanderthals ate. They consumed woolly rhinoceros, which lived in Europe during the Ice Age, and wild sheep, and to some extent, mammoth meat, supplemented with wild mushrooms. That sounds good. There was in one site, very little evidence for meat consumption. They had a largely vegetarian diet comprising pine nuts, moss, mushrooms, and tree bark. Wow, that's pretty high fiber. But what they also found was evidence of the use of what are called salicylates. Salicylic acid is the basis for modern aspirin. The chemical name for aspirin is acetyl salicylic acid. And the evidence suggests that Neanderthals used plant sources to provide them with salicylic acid. Until the 20th century, white willow bark was a traditional pain reliever because it was high in salicylic acid. And it wasn't until 1897 that a guy named Felix Hoffman, I wonder if he's any relation, who was working for this new company called Bayer. You ever heard of this company called Bayer? Yeah, Bayer Aspirin. He found that adding an acetyl group to salicylic acid reduced the irritative effect of salicylic acid, and a new patent medicine was born. They called it aspirin. And so evidence suggests that Neanderthals possessed a good knowledge of medicinal plants and their various anti-inflammatory and pain-relieving properties, and they seem to be self-medicating. Now, this is foreshadowed in a great series of novels that I'm reading, Clan of the Cave Bear, by Jean Aul. I think it's pronounced Aul, A-U-E-L. And she wasn't an anthropologist. She was a layperson who steeped herself in the study of anthropology and botany, and beautifully reconstructed what life must have been like 50,000 years ago when the Neanderthals were living. And the Neanderthals had a terrific, terrific knowledge of wildcrafting and the herbs in their environment. And they harnessed them for treating infections and wounds and injuries and pain. And this apparently was something that happened tens and tens and thousands of years ago. It's a very, very deep and long-lasting tradition. And oh, by the way, many of our modern medications are based on the discovery of medicinal properties of herbs, just like aspirin. Now you know the rest of the story. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands, why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our Intelligent Medicine principles, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the Intelligent Medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and our number 877-726-TALK to get through to us on this weekend. And Rosemary in Somerset, New Jersey. Or is it Rosemary?
Rosemary, thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks again for being there for us.
My pleasure.
Question, and I know you went over this probably a million times and all the times I've been listening to you, but it came up again for me with osteoporosis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just had a bone density test, and I was a little disappointed. I obviously knew that I have osteoporosis, and I used to take strontium, and it helped me. I went off of it 2 years ago, got a bad reading 2 years ago. Right. I started strontium about 8 months ago, and I just went to the bone density. The numbers got worse. So the AP spine was
How much are you taking? How much strontium
are you
taking?
This is my second part to my question. I'm only taking one tablet a day.
What's the strength of the tablet? What's the strength?
Yes. So now my question to you is because on the older product that I took, I thought it only said take one. Now this bottle says take one to two. Now I don't know whether I need to take the two.
Well, what's the dosage? What's the milligram amount on the bottle?
Hold on. It's the new product, if I could say it. It's the Provera, which is newer to me than the older one. This says one capsule, 300 mg.
Well, it's not enough to take one, so you have to take two. My experience is that the vast majority of individuals who take two capsules of strontium daily achieve some, at least slowing down of their loss at the very worst, but usually significant improvement in their bone density. And you got to do it consistently. And, you know, 8 months isn't enough time to see a result. That's why we do bone densities every 2 months. What's your DEXA score? Do you know what your T score is offhand?
The T score, let's see if it says here. Yeah, again, of course, the T score is... I don't know if it's...
Hip, okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, the AP spine was minus 2.8.
Okay, that's not terrible. That's a little bit into osteoporosis. And what's the hip?
Oh, okay, the hip was only the minus 2.5.
On the borderline. You're on the borderline. You should stick to it. And the other thing is you should complement... I mean, I think strontium is beneficial, but it's best combined with adequate amounts of vitamin D. You need to test your vitamin D and make sure it's at least 40 or 50. Usually that takes anywhere from 200 to 5,000 international units of vitamin D. And then you can take MK7 as well as a product like Ostera, Osteoprev, which is a bioavailable form of calcium. Put those things together, and you should have an improvement in your bone density next time you call us. All right? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
This traffic report from the bloodstream brought to you by Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Well, that inbound blood flow is really slowing down now due to plaque from cholesterol, but help's on the way from Kyolic. More than 750 peer-reviewed research studies indicate that Kyolic not only keeps circulation moving smoothly, it also helps improve a number of cardiovascular risk factors. Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is made from 100% organically grown garlic, is completely odorless, and won't upset your stomach. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Look for Kyolic at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. Help keep your system stay humming along with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. You can call us at 877-726-TALK. And have you heard about the benefits of lipid replacement therapy? There's a product that we've been sharing information with you about. It's Antifactor from Nutritional Therapeutics. And it's based on the notion that cell membranes and the membranes that surround the mitochondria, which are the energy powerhouses of the cells, deteriorate and degenerate with aging, poor diet, free radicals. And lipid replacement therapy replaces the phospholipids that are responsible for the integrity of the lipid membrane. Antifactor repairs damaged cells, and clinical trials have shown that Antifactor reduces fatigue by almost half. It even reverses symptoms of aging. It's available in ProPax, which is a one-stop shop for your vitamin and mineral needs, complete with omega-3s. And there's also the option of taking Antifactor alone. The product is called Healthy Aging. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. providing you with the unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. Now, I've been taking NT Factor for years. I wouldn't go a day without it. And now you can get it with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Got nothing to lose. So order ProPax or Healthy Aging by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Okay, get ready here for an editorial, because this is what this whole program is about, intelligent medicine. It's about the real necessity that we apply nutrition as part of our medical system. And I'm quoting here from an editorial in, of all places, the Journal of the American Medical Association, published this week, entitled Nutrition Counseling and Clinical Practice. And again, this is the thrust of this entire program. Whatever else you may take away from today's program, listen up. And I'm quoting from Journal of the American Medical Association, America's most mainstream and authoritative medical journal. Despite overwhelming evidence that relatively small dietary changes can significantly improve health, clinicians seldom discuss nutrition with their patients. Poor nutritional intake and nutrition-related health conditions such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and many cancers are highly prevalent in the United States, yet only 12% of office visits include counseling about diet. Even among high-risk patients with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, or high cholesterol, only 1 in 5 receive nutrition counseling. And my own editorial comment is, how many of these people are receiving medications? Sometimes 3, 4, 5, and 6 medications. Only 1 in 5 receive nutrition counseling. Now, this stark statistic, just 25% of medical schools offer a dedicated nutrition course. That's a decline since I went to medical school in 1985. At that time, they had actually called for more nutrition study in medical schools. And instead of more, there's now less. Just 25% of medical schools offer a dedicated nutrition course. It's a decline since the status of nutrition education in U.S. medical schools was first assessed in 1985. Few medical schools achieve the 30 hours of nutrition education recommended by the National Academy of Sciences. So when I was in med school, I took whatever courses were available, which was like maybe 1 or 2 lectures. And then I had to go hither and thither and yon all over the New York metropolitan area to study nutrition. And then I studied it on my own because it wasn't available. And the situation now, we're what, 30 years later, hasn't changed, right? Lack of time is frequently cited as the greatest barrier to counseling on nutrition and obesity. That's what, you know, doctors are hard pressed. I mean, saying we got to, you know, so much we have to cover in the meeting, then we have to, you know, write notes, and we have to interact with our computers and do the EMRs, the electronic medical records, and we have to prescribe medications, and, you know, there's not enough time. And, oh, by the way, that entire visit was, you could only bill $60 for the visit, so you got to see 40, 60 patients a day. Few state Medicaid programs cover nutrition or obesity counseling. And before 2012, Medicare explicitly excluded coverage for obesity counseling, although now a reimbursed service for Medicare beneficiaries. Just 1% of eligible Medicare beneficiaries receive this counseling. 1%. What percentage are obese? Probably more than half. 1% receive nutrition counseling for obesity. Why? What are they afraid of? Are they afraid that you're going to bill the government to put people on a diet? Would that be so bad? Dietitian counseling is also excluded by Medicare, but there are just two circumstances where it is included, where it can be covered by Medicare, if patients have diabetes or renal disease. But for all other medical conditions where nutritional counseling could be crucial, no coverage by Medicare. Okay? And on it goes. And you can look this up and read it. It's the editorial in the Journal of the American Medical Association on nutrition counseling. And they conclude, nutrition and health behavior change must become a core competency for virtually all physicians and any other health professionals working with patients who have or are at risk for nutrition-related chronic disease, which is, of course, all of them, right? So how far are we from achieving that goal? I mean, we talk about, Obamacare and Trump care and reforming our medical system, but what about this very, very fundamental reform, which is to reduce the burden of costly diseases in this country by instituting real nutrition training for health professionals and then insisting on providing it in offices, at the very least covering it, so there's not a disincentive to provide it. If it's not covered, it's not going to be provided. And what about the whole flotillas of medical nutritionists out there who are well-trained and credentialed, for whom no coverage exists when they advise patients about how to fend off chronic degenerative diseases that are sinking our economy and sapping our productivity? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number 877-726-TALK. And this item, and it's kind of something positive came out of Hurricane Harvey. People showed their generosity in a lot of very unique and spectacular ways. And here's one. An Owensville, Missouri mom, that's somewhere near St. Louis, donated more than 1,000 ounces of breast milk to families in Houston impacted by the flooding. Danielle Palmer had an oversupply of breast milk. Why? Her youngest son, Truett, was born with a congenital heart defect, so for a while he was getting his nutrition through an IV. So naturally, he wasn't breastfed. And so she had all this extra breast milk. For the first month or so, all of the milk that I pumped went straight to the freezer. And so Danielle Palmer was approached by her son's speech therapist, who asked whether she would be open to donating her oversupply of milk to families affected by the devastation in Houston. And she said, yes, we're very blessed and grateful that we have an opportunity to share. So what happened was they flew it down. They flew down the breast milk and said, I know there are mothers who want to feed their babies breast milk who can't, and it's better than ruining or tossing the milk. So at least Truett and I can share some love in that respect. So Palmer's speech therapist and her midwife took the breast milk to Texas. They said everything remained frozen and intact. It's now being distributed to distressed moms and kids in the devastated Houston area. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. We'll be right back for more of Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And there's yet another way to get calls through us. You can go to our homepage at drhoffman.com, and on your PC or Mac, there's a little box on the right. If you click it, you can record a question, as did this caller. Let's hear it.
My question relates to a recent allergy. I'm actually in the process of being diagnosed. I've tested positive in skin screenings for a reaction to beef, lamb, and pork. I believe, you know, that I basically suffered continuously from this allergy for approximately 4 months. During that time period, I've had just substantial gastrointestinal issues intermittently, as well as persistent diarrhea, but at times it would flare up quite a bit more after I'd eaten beef or other meat. Is it possible that when my body is reacting to an allergen, that could induce sleepiness? For instance, I'll get hives, I'll get the stomach upset, mm-hmm. and then thereafter I'll be very sleepy, or I'll be sleepy first. Because my question is, as the body is fighting off, is having this battle with the allergen and elevating my immune response, does that ultimately create sleepiness, drowsiness, fatigue, etc.?
Okay. Well, you bring up a very fascinating issue, which has only recently been discovered, which is that some people can become allergic to all mammalian meat, not chicken, not fish, but all mammalian meat. And the mechanism for that is via tick bite, the bite of the Lone Star tick. It's not the common deer tick that causes run-of-the-mill Lyme disease. It's the Lone Star tick that transmits some sort of reactivity to something called alpha-gal. Alpha-gal is a protein that is present in all mammalian meat, and you therefore become sensitized to lamb, beef, pork, you name it, but not to fish and chicken. And it is possible that this gamut of symptoms you're having is related to that. Now, the other problem, it makes it a little more complicated, you know, you're experiencing some degree of fatigue and malaise, is that this particular tick, the Lone Star tick, can be a vector of a variety of diseases, including ehrlichiosis, which is nasty, tularemia, which can be fatal. It doesn't sound like you're that sick. But also a different form of Borrelia, which is the pathogen that causes Lyme disease. So, I mean, this is not classic Lyme disease, but it may be a related species of spirochete that's transmitted by this different tick. By the way, these ticks are a little larger. They're more visible to the naked eye. You know, they're around virtually all parts of the country. They can be transmitted by pets, by going into the woods. And so, you know, if I were looking at you and trying to solve this mystery, I'd ask about your camping history, about, you know, if you have pets, and whether you've been exposed to tick bites, because that's the potential cause of that. Presumably your doctors who were trying to unravel this are on top of that. And the answer to your question is yes. So, you know, the whole panoply of symptoms can be related to alpha-gal allergy. But you got to make sure that you don't have some kind of underlying infection, because when you get bitten by a tick, it's like getting stuck by a dirty needle. You know, not just one thing gets transmitted, like just Lyme disease. You can also get babesiosis, ehrlichiosis, all kinds of nasties are transmitted by tick bites. All right, this item, and this is quite fashionable these days, because Mick Jagger is embracing this, and Silicon Valley CEOs are embracing intermittent fasting. And now there's evidence from studies done in mice that the ketogenic diet, or keto diet, excuse me, may improve memory in old age as well as prolong lifespan. So this hoarseness, by the way, that I get is I often get it after running, especially in cold weather. It wasn't particularly cold, but I was participating in a race this morning, and I got a little phlegm. So I'm going to have a little sip of decaf. Good. Okay. Two studies conducted in mice show that the ketogenic diet, what's the ketogenic diet? It's a diet that is very low carb, minimal carbs, high in fat as a source of calories, and with moderate amounts of protein. It's not necessarily a super high protein diet. Most of the calories come, up to 70% of the calories come from fat. These studies suggest that the keto diet might help to improve memory and reduce mortality. That's good. That means it extends life. They cycled these mice on the keto diet, which makes it easier because being on the keto diet is really hard. But they looked at tasks involving mazes, balance beams, running wheels to assess the mice's, yeah, I guess it's a plural of mice, or the possessive of mice, the mice's cognitive skills and physical strength as they aged. And what they found was quite interesting. By the way, the Buck Institute that did this study, they are leading researchers on the effects of the ketogenic diet for cancer. But here they were looking at lifespan, prevention of obesity, and prevention of memory loss. The older mice in the ketogenic diet had a better memory than the younger mice. And this can be cycled. You can be on 1 week, off 1 week. The other thing you can do to get some of the benefits is to go on a intermittent fasting or IF diet. And there was an article in one of the business magazines about how Silicon Valley CEOs are embracing intermittent fasting. Successful multimillionaires. They've already cashed out, so they're trying to optimize their intellectual capacity and productivity as well as extend their lives. And so they're doing intermittent fasting. They're on normal diets for a few days, and then they go on very minimal calories for a couple of days. And that has some of the benefits of long-term fasting. It tends to get the metabolism rebooted. It tends to reduce inflammation. It may have brain-sparing effects and thus help some of these executives to higher levels of performance. Interesting stuff. So ketogenic diet, look at the ketogenic diet as for its benefits in weight loss, cancer therapy, epilepsy, and now in improving memory and extending life. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us today. And I want to extend my heartfelt wishes to those people in the path of Hurricane Irma and subsequently Hurricane Jose. I hope for you a safe passage for you and your family and minimal damage and minimal dislocation. And we'll have to see what happens in just a few hours. Thanks for joining us. Check out our website at drhoffman.com. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our newsletter for more intelligent medicine information. It's been a pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Have a great weekend. This is Intelligent Medicine.